Oh, where are we? Hold on, let me check my notes. Okay. See, when you're married, they pick your nose for you.
We were actually going to, like, try and have a baby because practice is super fun. Only if you're married. Only if you're married.
Welcome back to Free People TV, because you're watching us. And actually, some people are listening to us. That's so right. Free People Radio. Either way, we're having a conversation that is going out digitally, because we would love for our digital community to meet our physical community. And if you're not on site, you can join us online. And that's kind of what we're trying to create. We're trying to create a space where you come with less, you leave with more. And free people by just giving away some funny stories, some self-help concepts, some scriptures.
So every week we have a word that we choose to discuss on Friday nights. We host a social night. Hi, Lion.
Hi, Lion.
We host a social night at our space in downtown LA. And our word for this week was I can't. And it was an incredible conversation to be a part of.
Lion was really excited about it. As you see, he wants to share his opinion. If you guys have any opinion on I can't, leave it in the comments, and we gladly share it this Friday on site with our people, because you don't have to be in the building to be in the house.
That's right. It was super cool because everybody was really invested in contributing to the conversation, and I felt like at the beginning of the night, a lot of the people in the room had a stronghold or something that they had tension with, and they were really holding on to as something that they can't do. And by the end of the night, by the way that they shared whatever the issue was, it felt like there was a lot more resolution. There was a lot more I can than the obstacles of what people came in thinking that they could not accomplish.
And what's a stronghold?
A stronghold is something that holds you down strongly.
Oh, like a money grip.
Yeah.
Like a money grip. Like you'd be like, yo, loose that money grip.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is stronghold a Christian word? Is it Christian?
I think it's two words that have been adhered by the Christian belief system. And now it's formed a new language called Christianese.
I don't know if stronghold is Christianese.
Christianese is not Christianese. Oh, you were saying about I can't? My personal share at I can't was our friend Demetrius. He quoted the brilliant philosopher Jay-Z. You remember Jay-Z? And he talked about how I will not lose. Mm-hmm. And his whole thing was that he could not lose, because every time he would take what one would consider to be a loss, it was actually a lesson, mm-hmm. and he was learning something from it. Mm-hmm. So in that state of mind, it's awesome to just hurry up and take a risk and take, you know, step into challenges, because every time you might lose, as long as you learn something from it, you're always gaining. Mm-hmm. So in theory, there is no loss,
yeah.
and there is no I can't. There's only I will do better, and I will improve,
yeah.
and I can next time, now that I've learned this lesson. Oh yeah, he's singing the Jonas Brothers, right? Mm-bop.
That's Hanson.
Yeah, same thing. Mm,
that's Hanson.
Okay.
Anyway.
Millennials. Just like that, Lion appears.
Voila.
So, while Tanya mics up, I want to share a scriptural perspective, because I think, you know, we shared a practical one. Not that Jay-Z is the most practical person, but anyway. So, I believe it's Luke 22, where Jesus, the perfect one, says, Father, if it is your will, take this cup, but not my will, yours be done. Because he was looking at what was about to take place at the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, my pronunciation's a little off. And when he thought he couldn't, or I can't, our Friday night conversation, he looked to God. And I think that's a very interesting perspective. If the perfect one is going to look to God when he feels like he can't, how would we not think to always look to God first when we feel like we can't?
Yeah.
And then a humbling perspective, possibly if we can't, might we not supposed to? I think it's not as important as what you can't do as your attitude when you find you can't do it. Because if you have the right attitude when you find you can't do it, some adjustments might bring you to a realization that you can do it with a new perspective change, with some new insights, with a new group of people around you, maybe with a new belief system.
It's like how you say with new information you can heal old wounds.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that
That sounds familiar.
That's because you said it.
Oh, yeah. My bad. And that's kind of like an underlining purpose of Free People, Free People.
Yeah.
We're giving away stuff that's worked for us that you may not have, and with new tools you can heal old wounds.
Mm-hmm.
And the tools that we're handing out is just kind of, you know, takeaways, insights, information, experiences. The same way as you would see a couple that has a 9-month old baby, and we might not have a lot of information, but if you're just pregnant now, Tanya can give you some information. But now everyone who has 3 and 4 kids, we run to them because we're just trying to live with just one.
Yeah.
It seems like lion, it might be time for lion's nap.
Mm-hmm.
Good night, lion.
Say goodnight.
Say goodnight.
We get so happy. So today, as part of the theme of I Can't, we thought it was appropriate to share our birth story. Since, I don't know, I guess giving birth is arguably the most difficult thing that you could ever do as a woman.
How far back on the birth story do we go?
I don't know, let's just talk and then see what happens.
Do we go for trying to get pregnant? There's levels and layers to this.
There's so many layers to this. So we wanted to share our birth story, but I guess we're going to do a little bit of back story to the birth story.
Is this like, is there like a hair here, a boogie or something?
No.
Something's itching me right here. See, when you're married, they pick your nose for you.
We wanted to have a family and we'll expand our family. We are a family, I guess, right? And we've been talking about having kids for a long time. And really, if there was a... We did it in the most responsible way. I mean, we really did. I mean, of course, as followers of Jesus, you'd hope that we would do it in the most responsible way. But I'm even talking about everything surrounding
it. I can't wait to hear the story.
I'm even talking about everything surrounding it. So in preparation, I used to work in corporate. I was a fashion designer. The last job I was at, the last company I was at was a company called Joe's Jeans, which makes really great denim. And I was working on special projects for them. I had a really good gig and was probably at the peak of my career, I would think. Like maybe the coolest thing that I'd done.
Yeah.
Had a billboard on Times Square. Like there was just, it was a really good place to be as a designer. And I got there maybe 5 years sooner than I thought I would. But at the same time, the fashion industry is a very... it is a very toxic industry, to be honest, but it's also very challenging. It takes all of your time and your life and your everything. To be successful, you have to be all in or nothing at all. So it's like 12-hour workdays are standard and expected. Like if you're leaving the office before 8 p.m., it's like, why? You don't have kids. Where are you going? You know? And so we started discussing the journey of wanting to start a family and what that would look like. I was raised with a home executive is what I call my mum, which really just means that she was a stay-at-home, work-from-home, homemaker, mother, and it was a beautiful way to be raised, and it's something that I wanted to give our children, but it's essentially it's a luxury for most people to be able to do that, and if it's not a luxury, it's taking a lot of sacrifice. So we started the transition to stop freelancing and not start our own business, but work full-time on the business so that we could free up time. And so we had a conversation, I'm sure many conversations, and decided that we wanted to start trying. But the trying process wasn't that simple. And I think for a lot of people, you just assume like, okay, we're going to get pregnant now, or I'm going to get off my contraceptive if you're on contraceptives or if you believe in that. And then we'll get pregnant in the next month or week or whatever it is. And it's not always that simple. And I think even in this conversation, we have to be very sensitive to the people who try for many years or are still in the process of trying to have a child. We're sharing our story because it's our story, not because it's the only way or the right way, and hopefully as a means of inspiration. I just feel like it's important as a woman and as a mom to say to families out there who are trying to have children, unable to have children, or are in any kind of adoption process, that it's all worth it. However your child comes into your life, it's a blessing, and it's the way that essentially, maybe not God originally intended, but God works all things to the good. And so that child, I just pray for everyone, will come, and you will get to be the parent that you want to be.
So before we're just completely solely sensitive and deep, let's just be a little shallow, arrogant, and crazy.
Okay.
So when we decided that beyond just making love, we were actually going to like try and have a baby, because practice is super fun. Only if you're married. So practice is super fun. But when you mess up making love, when you're practicing, you get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So the first time we tried, I let my wife know that I didn't want to try again for a month. And she looked at me with a face like, babe, a month? And I'm like, come on, humor me, please. Let me just know it was first shot. And she looked at me, she goes, only you would think that we're going to get together and first try this was going to happen. But the only way I could ever tell this story would be if it happened first try. And guess what? It didn't.
Can I just say, if as a woman, if the roles were reversed and your girl was like, can we just not have sex for a month because I want to know it first try, I don't think it would go down the same way.
Okay, if you're under 18 and not married, cup your ears. There's a lot of ways to have sex, babe, that you can get pregnant.
Yes.
So 7 months in trying, we go visit my mom, and when we say hi, we surprise her and stuff. And then we go grab our luggage, and we're going to take it to the guest room. But my luggage was actually in my mom's room.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at my mom, and I said, Mom, I'm not kicking you out of your own bed. Like, what? Where's the luggage? And when I go get the luggage, she goes, nope. The bags will stay here, mm-hmm. and maybe our room will be good luck.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom was basically telling me to get busy in her bed.
Mm-hmm.
This is adult talk here, but I'm just saying that's what happened. So we stayed there for a couple weeks, and, you know, we gave it a couple tries, and we came home, and we were probably still trying. She noticed that Mr. Monthly or Mrs. Monthly was missing this month, so she decided to go take that magic test. And we actually have footage of this whole process when we found out, which is kind of funny. She may be editing it because I'm not. So it said yes. So then we made a quick reservation to go see our doctor. Do you make reservations when you go see a doctor?
What
do you
say?
Appointment. You make an appointment to go see a doctor. And the appointment was on the day that my dad had passed.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only day that was available. Yeah. Not the exact day, obviously, because that would be in the future. But when my dad had passed.
So
when we saw that date, I was like, not only are you pregnant, I'm now guaranteed that it's a boy.
Because
I was saying it was a boy the whole way. There was like groups, there was people petitioning outside our house. Girl, girl. Everybody was so angry that I was so arrogant and convinced that it was going to be a boy, but I was just putting it out there.
I just think that because you were so confident, and sometimes there's a fine line between confidence and arrogance.
Oh, I straddle them both.
And who is to say that you weren't one or the other? But when you hear something so clearly from God, which I believe that you did,
that's beautiful.
No one can tell you otherwise. And I think that's what you had. But because you were so sure, it kind of translated as.
The funniest part was when we would go visit the doctor, and I would tell the doctor that it's a boy.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, that's okay if you and Tanya don't know that it's a boy yet, but I already know it's a boy and his name is Lion.
Yeah.
And everybody would look at me like I'm crazy, like I had a secret. Mm-hmm. People will get angry at me on social media because I hadn't let them know that we had found out already. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, well, Tanya and the doctors still don't know, but I know mm-hmm. that it's a boy and his name is Lion.
Yeah.
And there was no other conversation besides that.
Yeah.
So we went to the doctor and we found out that she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a little preface to the very sensitive, tactful, and deep conversation that she was having before. Continue.
I don't even know where I'm going right now. Okay, so I feel like everything about my pregnancy was perfect. I got the doctor that I wanted, Dr. Nono, who's delivered every single baby that I'd seen at church, and you know, the friends and families that we had been so inspired by as examples of what it looks like to raise a family within the church and be part of the church, serving in the church. And so I just knew, okay, I'm going to go to Dr. Lona, and especially being an immigrant as well, you're going to go to like your cousin's doctor, your sister's doctor, your someone's doctor. So it was the only person that I could trust because I'd seen the actual evidence of her work, essentially.
I feel a really heavy weight.
You do?
I feel a really heavy weight right now.
Why?
Our second appointment was maybe like 4 weeks or something like that. What was the second appointment after we found out we were pregnant?
It was in, because we found out at 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Which is really early. We took that test and then we had to wait until like 7 weeks.
And then we went and there was a digital display of a splatter. It was a digital splatter. Mm-hmm. And that digital splatter was our baby. Mm-hmm. And the doctor said, do you want to hear its heartbeat? Mm-hmm. And I said, excuse me? And she reached over to a knob and she turned the knob and that digital splatter went boop, 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 boop. And if you're thinking that I'm at a rave or something like that, no, no, no. A baby's heartbeat is beating twice as fast as your heartbeat is beating because God's plan is so perfect that he wants the doctor to be able to decipher what's the baby's heartbeat and what's your heartbeat. So now might not be the best place for this conversation, but there's a choice that people have to make to acknowledge that that is a life. And if we can acknowledge that when cells collide and create a disease has now come to life, it is no different when cells collide and a human being has come to life.
Yeah.
So at conception, after we have made love and we are honoring God's greatest gift to humanity, where two people can make a new being, create a new life, there is no choice but to service that life to the best of your ability. And that's not saying that, that's not saying that everything's gonna be easy. That's not saying that it might have not been love that made that baby. It could have been violence, it could have been an accident. But how you said before, that God works all things for the good. I have beautiful friends who were orphans, who were sadly going to be aborted, but were not. But I have no friends that were aborted. And I can't help to say this because it's just such a heavy weight. Because thinking about that digital display, I was thinking about how many people don't get a choice. And when we have women saying that it's their choice and their body to do what they want, they need to acknowledge that 50% of the babies are also women who are having their choice removed.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one cause of death is abortion. There's over 3,000 babies aborted daily. That's daily World Trade Center. That's daily larger body count than almost any war we've been in. That's almost the Holocaust each day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how anybody can defend this, I'm not saying that there isn't sad circumstances. I'm not condoning violence. So I don't want women to think I'm removing any choice from them. I'm just letting them know there's only one choice.
Yeah, and this is not a conversation to, I mean, we weren't even planning to have this as part of today's talk, but this is not to condemn anybody or to shame anybody, but to hopefully give new perspective.
Anyway, I just put such a weight on our celebratory conversation about Lion's life, but I do know I could not be celebrating my child if you would have made that choice.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I know a lot of people who have been pregnant and aborted their pregnancies and struggled with that, and I've seen the consequence of what it does when you kill your child.
Do you want to know the number one cause of death in minorities?
What? Abortion.
Abortion.
Yeah, and so I've seen the consequence of it, and I've been affected by it just by friends that I've had in the past that have chosen to abort their children, and it is not a something that you walk away from unchanged. You are forever changed. And something that I heard on a conversation online that we were listening to is, you don't walk into an abortion clinic and walk out a woman. Like you walk out a parent. Like, you're still a mother. You don't abort your motherhood. You just abort the baby. And that weighed really heavy on me, because I think when we minimize and we oversimplify what God has created us to be, we don't essentially have the brain and the bandwidth to understand everything and all that God is. So when we look at creation and we can minimize it to cells that we think do not represent life, then we've sadly misunderstood the way that we were created. And so perhaps this is a longer conversation, and in the comments, if you want us to record a full episode just based on this, and it is an important conversation to have, and it's a heavy one, and I think it's important to give everybody education and tools.
And another very important perspective for all you progressive believers or maybe future believers is, in Jeremiah it says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and I set you apart. So if you're going to put any weight or any value on that at all, that life, or less than a life some people are considering, is actually God's friend, is God's homie. So you are eliminating, you are bringing up discussion as to, hey, no, it's okay to murder God's homie. It's okay to eliminate God's friend, who not only is it his friend, like we have friends, social media. No, it's his intimate creation that not only did he create, he had already planned a great plan for you. So regardless of how you enter this world, you're only exiting it one way, and it's right back to his presence, the person who created you.
I personally don't like to get so dark and heavy all the time, and I don't mind getting into a deep scriptural conversation, but we're not also doing that here all the time. I think we try and keep it light and airy with some healthy references.
Yeah.
But a healthy reference that I could give you, and I know it's not very applicable to everybody because everybody has a different level of gravity they place on the scriptures. If we're honoring each other, there is no rape and there is no violence.
Yeah.
And if you now put stuff chronologically how God has placed it in our lives to follow, you don't have these scenarios.
Yeah.
We don't have unplanned pregnancies. We don't have violent pregnancies.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have people taking something that shouldn't be theirs,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a life or it's someone's love.
Yeah.
So I think God has given us the scriptures, if I could be so harsh as to say, it's life for dummies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, take that book, apply that book, find somebody who can help you translate that book,
mm-hmm.
and watch that book start to transform your life.
Yeah. As I was saying, everything in our birth story was perfect. Got the doctor that I wanted, the hospital that I wanted, all our appointments had been great. Our son, all our checkups were... There was no red flags the whole pregnancy, and it wasn't an easy pregnancy, but everything that we could prepare or had control of, it was incredible. There was a lot of grace, I think, over our family during that time. And so it's day of, you know, and we decided to get induced because we wanted to meet our son by ourselves, you know.
Ooh, right? You just exposed that to Flo and to Dulce.
My mom knows.
Oh, okay.
She
outed herself. She special delivery to the baby,
yeah.
So she could have lying to herself for a couple days.
Yeah, it was something really important to be able to meet him. So we decided to induce a week earlier. And I was just so uncomfortable and so tired, and I didn't want the overwhelm of having to meet my son and then see all this family at the same time that I hadn't seen in a long time. And yes, I wanted their help, but I just wanted us to be able to be parents and to have this beautiful, intimate moment, at least for a little bit.
That was Tanya's plan, Mom. I was with you, okay?
Yeah. And actually, can I just give advice right now? As much as I love every single person in my family, in all families, you have an opportunity to have family that's coming into town, and there's like a ton of people that want to come. I had a really hard time transitioning into motherhood and having like people around. The type of person that I am and my personality, it was very, very challenging. And should we do it again, I probably won't have anyone in town for like a couple of weeks. Now I don't know what it's going to look like because it'll be a second baby.
I feel another weight.
Another weight? What?
Our church is phenomenal. Mosaic sent meals upon meals upon meals. It seemed like the entire church was feeding us for like a month. And not just food for Tanya. There was food for me, food for my mom. Mm-hmm. I think Lion might have got a cheeseburger or something. Like, the church came together and fed us three squares plus a day.
Yeah.
Until we had to say, stop, stop. Because it was just crazy. The door kept ringing. We have more food in our refrigerator than we have ever had.
Yeah.
Get yourself plugged into a local church, man. And if it doesn't work out with that one, you know, work it out. But if it doesn't work out with that one, get plugged into another one. Churches are full of people. But you have to find people to do life with.
Yeah.
And you have to find people to fight with for a purpose.
Yeah.
You know, you might disagree about some stuff, but if you're fighting for a purpose and you're fighting for each other, beautiful moments like that take place.
Yeah.
That was so special.
And I feel, wow, I'm actually like emotional.
No. So am I. I'm hungry right now.
And I remember there was a time, and I'm going back again. I remember there was a time where I was unsure about how I would be able to be a parent in the country that is like completely far away from my blood relatives. And I had a hard time trying to envision a life where I wouldn't have like my sister around me or my mum around me, or you know. And the deal breaker or the deal maker essentially was our home church and our community, and knowing that our chosen family was going to be there. And it was such a beautiful picture when people kept showing up at the door, and it was like, it was literally breakfast, lunch and dinner for weeks. And I had forgotten, or I had minimized the power of community when I kept thinking that you have to be related to somebody for them to be family, or you have to be related for somebody for them to know and understand what you need. I had a friend fly in from Paris to be there for my birth. That's insane.
But bleeding together with somebody makes you family as well.
Well, yeah. Absolutely. Anyway, so we're going to the hospital. I decided to have a breakfast burrito because Dr. Leo says I can have one meal before I arrive at the hospital, but when I get to the hospital, I'm going to be induced. I can't eat again until this baby comes out. When you're induced, they usually say that it can take from like 24 to 36, 48 hours even. Essentially, an induction would take longer than natural birth, but he would still be out sooner than he would if we, you know, waited to go into natural labor. So I was ready to be in there for 2 days. So we get there at 8 in the morning. Maybe he wasn't. We get there at 8 in the morning. I'm induced by 10 a.m. We walk into this room, and the room is like stunning. It has a view of the whole of LA. You could see the Hollywood sign, this giant window. I felt like I was in like a luxury hospital suite.
No, that window was like so big, you could see San Diego.
I know, at Cedars. My birth plan was that I wanted to have a walking epidural and then escalate to a regular epidural, standard epidural. And I wanted to labor naturally, but only for the beginning. I had no plans to like really feel anything. So we, you know, the most of it was just like,
I'm gonna have a baby, I'm not gonna feel anything.
You know, I mean, I was terrified to, I was completely terrified of what the pain was going to be. So I wasn't trying to like test the waters at all. So anyway, so I have the Pitocin, which is what starts your induction, and I'm feeling totally fine. We're hanging out, we're dancing in the room, we have music playing, like everything's going great. And slowly, you know, my contractions start to intensify and I'm getting more and more dilated. I was already 3 centimeters dilated when I came into the hospital. So I thought that because I was already far along, things were going to escalate pretty quickly. But I didn't think it was going to escalate as quickly. So I waited too long, essentially, to ask for my epidural. So Felix leaves the room to go, I don't know where he went. Where'd you go?
Probably get a snack.
Yeah. So Felix leaves the room, and the time that he's gone, which is maybe like 15, 20 minutes, I go from 3 centimeters to like 6.5, 7 centimeters dilated. So he comes back, and I'm essentially like screaming and shaking and in shivers. And I've asked for my epidural. They've taken too long to come because there's, you know, other people who are giving birth. And they told me to ask for it like at least an hour before. Didn't do it. So I labored way more than I wanted to feel. Anyway, I end up getting my epidural. It was fine. It took a few pokes. At about like, I guess 6 or 7 p.m., Dr. Lena finally comes in just to say hi. And obviously I have nurses and doctors that are in the room and they're, you know, helping me get there as I'm increasingly dilating and they're helping me feel comfortable. I took a couple of naps. Still, I was like relatively comfortable for most of the time. So there was a shift change halfway through the day for the evening shift. So Dr. Lena comes in and introduces the new nurses. One of them was Lilith. Another one, I don't actually remember.
Hector.
Was it really Hector?
Yeah.
Oh, well. Now, Dr. Lena, she initially comes in and she says, I'm going to introduce you to two nurses. One of them is a guy. Just want to know if that's okay. And I'm like,
no, she didn't say that. She said, this is Lilith. And then Lilith will have an assistant nurse. I just want to know if that's okay with you. And we said, of course, it's okay. Because if Dr. Lerner says it's okay, then it's okay. And then exit Dr. Lerner to go deliver 16 babies before Tanya hit the gym and have some sushi. And then in comes Lilith. And then in comes Hector.
Yes.
Hector was not a woman. Was not a woman in transition. Was not... Hector was Hector.
Yeah.
And I was like, hold up. What's Hector's role? And is he going to be below 12 o'clock? Or is he going to be above 12 o'clock?
I remember thinking, when I saw him, I just kind of got really uncomfortable. And I was like, if I knew that it was going to be a guy, I probably would have said no. But now that this person's in the room, I'm like, well, I don't know. Do I kick him out? Like, it's so awkward, you know? And you want to protect that space, and it's such a sacred space, and there's so much going on.
That you want to protect that space.
I don't.
Just note to self. You don't have to be in the pregnancy room and delivery situation to protect that space.
Okay. So I was super uncomfortable, but, you know, it was like I can't let this thing get into my mind or distract me from, I have a mission here, I have to get this baby out, so... Hey, now we have Hector. He's part of it. He's part of the family now. Great. Let's go. I made it a point to be really kind to all the staff and everyone that was coming. And I thought, okay, if I have these people in my space and in my presence for a finite amount of time, I'm going to be, my mission for the day is to be incredibly kind to everyone. So the anesthetist, anesthesiologist, whatever the name is, that came in to give me my epidural, all the nurses, I was so kind, I was so encouraging. I was like, you're all doing a great job.
She had a needle in her back and she's like, oh my God, you have such gentle hands.
But I wanted it to just be a space like these people deliver babies every single day and God knows how kind or nasty the people are that are coming into the room. So I was like, okay, at least for my experience, I can be kind and maybe it'll be a different experience or make it easier for the people working at Cedars. So Lil comes and she's next to me and I don't know what she was doing. And I ask her, Lilith, your name's Lilith? What does that mean?
Oh, my husband thinks it's so funny.
Hmm.
My name means...
I'm actually named after... a woman, she was Adam's original wife. You know, like in the Bible, like Adam and Eve. Before Eve, there was Lilith. And Lilith was this like sexual, promiscuous woman. So she was like sent down to Satan. You guys can read all about it. I'm just going to paraphrase this. And she was sent down to Satan. And because she was so angry that Adam and God essentially had sent her down to the devil.
She's basically telling us that Lilith was the first thought.
Yeah, yeah.
And that Adam had a thought mm-hmm. on the side there.
Yeah, yeah. And so she couldn't have babies. So she started to steal people's babies.
And her husband thought it was so funny that she worked in the delivery room amongst all these newborns and that she is the baby thief since the beginning of time. And what an appropriate time to share that.
I felt like in that moment, everything from the, like all the air in the room was sucked out. And so she's talking and I'm nodding and I'm going, stop talking. But there was nothing in me that could stop her from talking. Eventually she just laughs it off. She walks out the room. My nurse, who I meant to now entrust with my life because she needs to make sure this baby comes out of me, and my doctor is having sushi or something and is not there and it feels like this baby's going to pop out at any moment. I now have to make a decision to entrust my life and my child's life to this woman.
And the other thing that's really important too, it's like, we're in a situation where we can't like put our foot down and be like, we're not working with this person. It's not going to happen because Tanya and Lion's life's on the line.
Yeah.
And they're going to be the people who are going to deliver this child. And this child's going to float around the hospital at Cedars.
Yeah.
And we have to trust the hands that are holding and delivering this child.
Yeah.
So even if we think Lilith has poor timing in her storytelling abilities, mm-hmm. we have to somehow come to terms with Lilith may be our doctor.
Yeah.
And hopefully she doesn't steal Lion as her rumored legendary name origin states.
So insane. As I said, the pregnancy had been so perfect. Even the day had been so perfect. And our pastor, Pastor Kim, had come in and she'd done like a little Bible study with us. And she prayed with us. And one of the most incredible moments of the day before I started really laboring was when she came, she opened up her Bible and she goes to a verse in Deuteronomy and she says, oh no, I think this is the verse for this delivery, and I think this is the verse over this child's life. And she essentially just reads the same verse that we had been reading and praying over our son the entire pregnancy. And essentially it's that verse that says, you are the head and not the tail, you are above and never beneath, you'll be a lender of many nations and a borrower of none. That passage. And
your delivery was going to go from strength to strength.
And so, yeah. And so she says, and just remember, before she gives, she goes, and just remember, Tanya, everything in this moment is going to be from strength to strength, from push to push. So we held onto those words, strength to strength. So when Lilith leaves the room and all the air has left the room, I look at Felix and I look at Chloe, the girl who came from Paris, my friend, and I go, Chloe, pray. Felix, pray right now. And I ask them to put worship music on. So we had this like...
Lion's having a nightmare about Lilith right now.
So we had like a 3-hour intercession. We have Red Bull, Lion finally went down from a nap. We're probably covered in his...
I got Lion putty.
...food.
So, back to Lilith.
So Lilith leaves the room, and I look at Chloe, and I look at Felix, and I go, Felix, Chloe, pray right now. And then I asked him to put worship music on. The hilarious thing is that we had two playlists. One was like a hip-hop throwback 90s playlist. Then the other was the worship playlist. We hadn't played the worship playlist yet up until this moment. And I was like, okay, we need a very, very stark transition from what just happened. And, you know, telling the story and thinking back, it was such a spiritual battle because we had had this perfect kind of ushering in of this child. We had this perfect plan for how he was going to come into this world, and you know, he'd been anticipated and loved already and prayed over, and he had so many people who were expecting him. I was sharing the story on Friday night with the guy that came to Free People, and he said, you know, your child already has such a big call on his life. We already know that he's going to make such a pivotal mark in the world because there was already a fight for his life before he even came out. And I never actually thought about it so simply, but it's so true that wherever there is any kind of spiritual tension, wherever there is a moment where there is a spiritual battle, it is because you are doing something important and something of value, and you are doing something threatening. And so we had to fight back and just fill the room with God's presence. So we played MSC's Tremble, which I feel like by now, if you're even a Christian, you would have heard the song.
I think Tremble comes tucked in the Bible now as a bookmark.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure it's like back where the maps are. And so Tremble's playing and Mariah McManus, she's singing, Jesus, Jesus, right? So she's singing and we put the volume really loud. And so Lilith comes back into the room and she's trying to help me like practice pushing essentially, because she was trying to have me get to a place where she could deliver the child without my doctor coming back. And it was all just, there was many strange things that were happening. And she kept going, is this music not distracting you? Is the music not distracting you? And I was like, no, it's not, you know. Because she was so bothered by, I guess, the volume of it and what the words were saying as well.
Also, there was that other moment where the second to last meal was at Sweet Chick. Mm-hmm. And we left Sweet Chick and we were waddling, or she was waddling down the street. And we saw this little kind of like vintage, like jewelry spot. And we stepped in out of curiosity. And it was funny because I found this lion ring there. And as I was buying this lion ring out of impulse, the lady offered Tanya a gift. And she put it in her hand and she crumbled up her hand. And she said, this is to ward off any evil spirits and to protect your child. When he's old enough, you could put it on him. In the meantime, keep it under his pillow. Mm-hmm. And when we walked outside, we opened it. She opened her hand. And it was the evil eye thing. And then there's Lilith in the hospital room, and she's going, you know, the evil eye thing, it's supposed to ward off the spirit of Lilith. And Tanya and I looked at ourselves, and when she left the room, I was like, Tanya, should I run back to Fairfax?
Because the evil eye!
Because the funny thing was, she looked at me, I looked at her, I go, we don't believe in this stuff. But I felt bad telling the lady we weren't going to accept her present, and then I didn't want to throw it away. So when I was crossing the street on Fairfax, right next to John and Vinny's, there's a little button you push to kind of, for the light to change, and I stood the little evil eye against the little button, and we walked across the street. But as soon as Lilith mentioned that, I went, the evil eye is on Fairfax, we gotta get back there!
Like now, when we tell the story, you know, I realize that it's such a well-known story.
Yeah, on Friday, the one guy's face like lit up when you said Lilith, her name was Lily?
A couple of people, yeah. And then the evil eye thing, I never understood the mythology behind it either.
I knew the evil eye thing was supposed to protect kids' spirit or whatever, but I didn't know it was Lilith.
Yeah, I didn't know. So anyway, nothing is coincidence in this life. So it was kind of hilarious. In the moment, not hilarious, but looking back, hilarious that we had these two distinct moments relating to each other. Here's this evil eye protecting your child, and then here's this woman who represents the devil's.
She doesn't represent any of that. Poor Lilith, her name does.
No, I don't.
She's a doctor. She was like helping us have our child, but it's just crazy timing. That name is wild.
Yeah. And so.
It's like naming your daughter Jezebel. Yeah. It's not a good future ahead.
Absolutely not. Oh. And so, circling back to the whole topic of I can't, this was such a perfect moment when we talk about having mental battles and opposition of things that we believe that we can't do. There was a time, there was a breaking moment in that delivery room where I had to look at this doctor and have all these thoughts racing through my mind going, oh no, I can't trust this lady, this is so crazy, I have to hold on till Dr. Lerner comes back, like there's no way that I can entrust my life and my child's life into this woman's hands.
And that's how I kind of felt about Hector. When I looked and I saw Hector holding my wife's left leg up, I was going, whoa, Hector. Keep your eyes up, and that torque is like that torque is reserved. Mm-hmm. Like, come on.
And so there was this moment. He just took my reverence away.
Just damn Hector, man.
So there was this moment where I had to go, okay, I have to let go of this control essentially and trust that God is protecting my body, our child, our family, the whole birth. And so the best part is that I'm probably like 9 centimeters dilated or something. And Dr. Nana comes back from her sushi and wherever she went. So she went to the gym, she sauna, got her groceries, whatever.
Brought 10 kids into this world.
Brought 10 kids into the world. So she comes back into the room and she's just got game face on, like fully. And it was less than an hour from the moment that she walked into the moment that lion entered the world. And the biggest shift between Lilith and my doctor
was when I joined Dr. Lerner and shrugged Hector out of the way and took my rightful position at your right leg.
Yeah.
And me and Dr. Lerner went to town.
Yeah. The shift in the room when Dr. Lerner came into the room, it was like trust walked into the room. Mm-hmm. And so I had been pushing, but nothing was happening because I had a mental block and was struggling to trust this other woman. But when my doctor came in, who I trust so deeply, things escalated and progressed so quickly. And I think that just goes to show of the thing between where we are and what we cannot do. It's just a mental obstacle.
I mean, yeah, it's a mental, it's a physical obstacle. Dr. Lerner came in the room and she walked right over to Tanya, eye to eye, nose to nose, and she said, "Are you ready to do this?" And Tanya was like, "Yes." It was just like Coach walked in, and then just like a couple crunches into it, her and I are falling back together, and I'm whispering in her ear, "Strength to strength," and we crunch up together, and we were falling back, and then all of a sudden, Dr. Lerner goes, "Oh my God, he has so much hair," and then she looks at Tanya, she goes, "Do you want to touch it, or do you want to feel it?" And she put her hand on Tanya's head, and then Tanya looks because he has so much hair. Then she falls back again, it's like strength to strength. And she crunches up, and then Tanya looks at me, and she goes, "I gotta push him out. I don't want him to have a cone head." And then we fall. This was comedy. And then we fall back, and she was like maybe one or two pushes away, and she comes back up strength to strength. And she leans back in, she goes, "I gotta get him out. I'm so hungry." And then all of a sudden, wah! Our first shout from Lion.
Yeah. And he comes out, and I actually, I was last night, I was busy editing the footage of our birth vlog, which will be up separately, and I'd never seen the footage. I think I just wasn't ready to watch it, but I said to Felix yesterday, "Wow, this is really uneventful." First of all, because this entire story about Lilith that we're telling you, you cannot pick up on the footage. This is just happening like behind the scenes, right? So then Lion comes out. And then they do the suction thingy. And then he cries. And then they put him on my chest. And then they have to take him away. And he's crying and he's crying and he's crying. Because they have to take him away to do whatever they do after your baby comes out. To make sure he's okay, to weigh him, etc. Put him under the light. And so Felix, what did you do in that moment?
Well, he got whisked away. But right before they whisked him away, Dr. Lerner had said at the appointments, "Are you ready to cut the umbilical cord?" And I said, "Absolutely not, unless I was getting a discount from the hospital." Because I don't work for you guys. You guys work for me. I don't do it. What if I cut it wrong? I didn't know. But they tried to, like, shock me into it. So when they grabbed the baby and they pulled him away, they turned my shoulder around and handed me a scissor. And they said, "Cut here." And I was like, So it actually took, like, 2 tries because I didn't want to hurt him.
There's no nerves. There.
I don't know these things. I ride a skateboard occasionally. I draw. I have some ideas. I talk a lot. We watched the baby getting whisked away, and I hadn't had a chance to introduce myself to him. So the baby's going ham, and they have him in this little basket, and I walk over to him, and I let him know. I go, "Hey, Lion, I'm your father. Nice to meet you. Thanks for joining us." And I stick my finger out because his hand is so small. And all of a sudden, he just completely got quiet, grabbed onto my finger, and just looked at me. And it was as if we continued every conversation we had had for the last 9 months. And he knew my voice, and he knew it was me, and he finally connected the dots, and I was just in shock. And there's footage of this, and there's a photo of Lion minutes into this world, just acknowledging me and holding my finger. It was so shocking. Like, I'm like fighting back tears right now. But I think we've always had like this, we've always had like a really a thing.
Yeah. You know, and it kind of reminds me of what you were saying earlier. And Jeremiah, where it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And for him to be in the womb knowing your voice is so incredible. I think it's a small little metaphor about how we're always connected to God. Do you know what I mean?
And if we're not, we're looking for it.
Yeah.
And that's that void. That's that yearning. That's that thing that we keep trying to cap with something, and it's uncappable, because the only thing that can fill that void is a relationship with your father. No offense, mother. I know this is the birth vlog,
Heavenly
not
father.
The dad vlog.
Heavenly Father.
But, you know, you did carry him for 9 months, and I carried him for 49 years.
Here we go.
Just in case the audio was bad on that, because she decided to chime in, she carried him for 9 months. But I did carry him for 49 years. So, yeah.
If you're like a dude listening to this, don't repeat that.
If you're a dude listening to this, that is your only line of defense. Hey, Lion's back. He woke up again.
There you go. Lion's up from his next nap, because that's how long it took us to record this whole story. Us sharing this story and connecting it with the whole theme of I can't. It's just a picture of what happens when you make a decision to push through any mental battle, physical battle that you have, that there's beauty on the other side of it. I think that's the whole point of it.
And consider that if you can, maybe you weren't supposed to. And don't have such a heavy weight on yourself, because oftentimes the weight we place on ourselves is due to comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe you were created for a purpose on purpose, and you should. And you could, and you can, and you will.
Mm-hmm.
But it just might not be exactly the way you thought it would be.
Yeah, that's so good. That's a good reminder. Okay, well.
He wants to say goodbye really bad. He's never been, has he missed the closing?
I don't think so.
I don't know if he's missed the closing. So we're going to bring him back out to close. You need the keys for the cell?
That joke is so bad.
Papi? Here comes my son, the camera hog. I have no idea where you got this from.
Mira.
Papa, tell the people what you were trying to say from far away. Tell them. That's not an Oreo cookie. Don't eat it. Well, in closing, we love you guys. Thank you guys for meeting us every Wednesday right here. And we love you guys on Spotify and iTunes. Thank you for listening to us. I hope we keep you company on the way to wherever or on the treadmill and whatnot. But if any of you are in downtown Los Angeles or anywhere nearby, come check us out at Allies every Friday night at 8 o'clock. We hang out, snack and chat. We have a little showcase from our friends. You know, they share something they're passionate about and some thoughts on it. We have a little wordplay fun. And hopefully, free people will free people that night. And we guarantee you will come in with less and you will leave with more.
And as usual, we leave all our socials below in the description. So make sure that in between these episodes that you are following us on there as well. Thank you so much for listening and watching and commenting and all the things. We will see you in the next one.
And let's keep growing this community. Let's get some comments down there. Let's share some stuff. We don't want this to be a one-way conversation. That would be really boring. Her and I talk to each other all the time. We would love to continue talking with you and then share some of you with our friends on Friday. So, see you next week.
Bye.
What line?
Say bye to the people. That's all you got. That's all I got, daddy. Da-da-da. Say hi to the people. You're over there.
Bye, people.
Bye.